from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
It's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Say it, Kalisi. And South Africa are rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sports.
Just gone 2 minutes past eight. Assalamu alaikum and a very good evening. You're listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and we chat to the past and present sports stars as well. I'm your host, Firoz Sheikh, and my tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking football tonight. My guest is the former Cape Town Spurs, Cape Town United and Berea winger, James George. Looking forward to this one. But before we chat to James, let's catch up with the latest news coming through from today. The four matches in England today. Two matches completed. Wolves beating Southampton 2-1. Manchester United and West Brom playing to a 1-1 draw. Arsenal looking good at the moment. Currently 4-2 up against Leeds United. 75 minutes gone into that game. And there's one late game as well. Everton play Fulham. That match starts at 9. There was one match in the DStv Premiership today. Swallows and AmaZulu played to a goalless draw. There. Pakistan, well, they're just nipping it in the end there against South Africa, winning that third and final T20 international by 4 wickets to win the series 2-1. South Africa posted 164 for 8. David Miller was in fantastic form there, 85 not out of 45 balls, but that wasn't good enough. Pakistan replied with 169 for 6 with 8 balls to spare. Now, India have taken control of that second test match against England. They were 54 for 1 in their second inning. That stumps on day 2 of that test there in Chennai, leading by 249 runs with 3 days to go. So India in control there. They made 329 in their first innings, while England were bowled out for 134. Now, news coming through from the Australian Open. Number one seed Novak Djokovic is through to the fifth round. He beat Milos Raonic earlier today, 7-6-4, 6-6-1 and 6-4. Third seed Dominic Thiem was knocked out, beaten by Grigor Dimitrov. And in the women's draw, Simona Halep, Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams all advancing to that fifth round. Time now to say a very good evening to James George. Thanks for joining me tonight on The Voice of the Cape.
Good evening to you and your listeners, and thank you for affording me the honor of this interview.
No, you're welcome, Mr. George. It's only a pleasure. Now, you can join the conversation as well. You can call 021-442-3530, WhatsApp 0829-913-913 for any comments or questions. Now, let's start from the very beginning. Where did it all begin for you? And talk to us about some of those amateur clubs you played for.
My career started in Salt River with Squares AFC, a predominantly Muslim soccer club, in the early 60s. I was born and bred in Woodstock, about 15 to 20 minutes walk to Salt River. So once a week or twice a week, we would go for training at Shelley Street Sports Grounds, which would be packed with rival clubs, Blackpools, Hotspurs, Woodsides, Lilies, as all will be training there. All these clubs were affiliated to various associations in different areas around Cape Town where they will play their fixtures over the weekends. We at Squares played our fixtures at Royal Road, Maitland, and were at a very young age. I played against and with some of the best in Western Cape, usually Christy Martin, Glenville Dynamos, Peter Sables, Cape Town Spurs, Stevie Williams, Cape Town Spurs, Maritzburg, Frank Adams, Cape Town Spurs, Ahmad Fakir, Dennis Twiggy, Peterson from Glenville, and Ati Erling. And the list just carries on.
Now, that is just around the corner from here, isn't it?
Correct.
Now, I believe you were called yet again. Now, if I can remember well, that is in reference to a very famous horse back in the 70s because of, I presume, you were a very quick, blistering player. Am I correct?
Yes.
And was it from school days as well? Were you good in athletics and stuff like that? Or was it just...
It was just a natural progression. Yeah. I enjoyed the athletics, you know, and that was, for me, my highlights during my schooling years, you know.
Which school did you go to, by the way?
Salt River Primary School, off Dryden Street, from down the road here, and then eventually Salt River High School in Rochester Road, just around the corner.
And in athletics, what was your favorite events?
I never was a fast runner, but I just used to marvel and at other sprinters and that type of thing. Like my favorite was Faudi Kalam. He was a Western Province schools champion. Yusuf Kut. Kut, we call him Kuti, and that type of, you but know, you
must
too.
But you must have been quick if they called you yet again. I think you're just being modest there, Mr. James. Were you always a winger, or were you converted into a winger when you played football?
I was always a winger on the left side. You know, when I don't class myself as a great footy player, but maybe I had something or certain attributes others at the time did not have.
Yeah.
We had an abundance of talented players in the Western Cape, and no disrespect to the other provinces. That was better than me. But I survived because we were taught to dry.
Yeah.
That was discipline, respect, integrity, and humility by our peers. And appears being René Pony Dupree and the late Don Richards.
Fantastic.
They inculcated that into us at all times.
Yeah. Now, I'm chatting to you, I've got that picture in my head of that 1976 final, but we're going to get to that later on, of you crossing that ball with a packed Currys Fountain, but we're going to chat about that later on. So your first professional team, of course, Cape Town Spurs. How did that opportunity come along?
Well, Cape Town Spurs were owned by Western Province Footballers Association. Mm. So what they did, each and every weekend, they used to go around to all these different unions and seek for talent. And then they came to Maitland Royal Road. That's where I played my soccer.
Mm.
And we played them. Actually, we lost. I scored the goal. And I drew their attention. The Dougie Carlson said to Don Richard, I think we must get this guy in. And the Monday they gave me a call and said, listen, you have to join the club. You must come and train with us. And that's it. And that's how it started.
And how was that experience joining the club? Obviously, you would have followed the players there. You mentioned Dougie Carlson and some of those popular names. What was that experience like, you know, being your first pro team, joining Cape Town Spurs? What was it like?
You see, the most important thing is that you have to play with players who complimented you.
Mm.
Also, often players miss out by not playing with those that make them look good and lose out on that opportunity as well. I was lucky to have been around great players at Spurs, Siraj Abbas, Bobby Solomons, Bernard Hartzer, Bernie Van Nicke, the late greats Dougie Carlson, Rashid Khan, and Danny Abrams.
Those are
household names, and it just goes on. And yes, I thank them all for trying to make me a household name in the soccer fraternity at the time. I hope so.
Well, I tell you what, you wasn't only a good winger, because in 1973 in the FPL, you were the leading goal scorer, right? You still remember that?
Yes, I do.
How many goals did you score?
I think it was 21.
So you weren't a bad goal scorer as well, right? So that Spurs team was obviously, you know, that was one of your highlights, I take it, with Spurs?
Yes, because I've learned such a lot. You know, and I felt sorry for the other players, because some of them couldn't make it because I kept them out of the team. And eventually when I left, A.B. Wymers became the regular, and he was a far better and a natural left-footed player.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I had the package maybe, he did not, and they took me.
But what was your strength, Mr. George, besides your blistering pace? What else would you say was your strengths?
You see, at Cape Town Spurs, we were well disciplined, you know. Mm. Siraj, Dougie, they were our mentors, and Danny Abrams, of course. They were the two of them, like Danny and Dougie. But Siraj used to dictate the fullbacks, and obviously Dougie and Danny, the midfielders.
Mm.
And all they used to do, get the ball from the goalkeeper, pass it on to Siraj. Siraj would maybe give it to Danny or Dougie. They'd kick a long ball over the heads of the oncoming defenders and forwards. And I used to just jet down the wing and then score goals from all angles. And it was just great fun.
And obviously supply to your strikers as
well. Correct. And that was simple for us, and it worked for us.
It wasn't difficult.
It wasn't difficult.
Now they make it difficult now with all the different formations, eh? Back in the day, I don't think there were so many formations as they play now.
No. For those days, it was just straightforward. We didn't have coaches. Okay, we did have coaches Dougie was trainer, coach, manager, and we had obviously Puni and Don Richards. But the coaching staff, we were more on discipline. and fitness. We used to run for miles and on end on the racetrack here next to the Newlands, near Newlands racehorse track. That was our training every twice a week. And in the sand dunes. And that was it. Wasn't tough. It was just discipline.
No, fantastic. Obviously, you spent a few seasons with Spurs before moving to Cape Town United.
Yeah.
Why the move to United?
You see, towards the end of the of 1974, after losing the Cup final against Berea, we lost 4-3, after leading them 3-1, and I think Siraj can attest to that. I joined Cape Town United in 1975, as most of the Spurs players were sought after by other provinces in Joburg, Durban, and Maritzburg. Bernard Hartzer and Joey Lawrence moved to Cape Town United. After a short spell with Cape Town United, I decided to move up to Durban. I think the first manager to make contact with me was the late Balu Parak from Verum Suburbs. Mm. Fantastic person, very nice guy. But I decided to join Berea.
Yeah, but Mr. George, I'm going to pause you there because we're going to get to Berea just now. Let's talk about Cape Town United. What were your highlights with Cape Town United before we get to Berea?
At Cape Town United, I only had a very short stint with them. Mm. But it was great. I played with fantastic players, you know, we did well, but not as well as with Cape Town Spurs and Berea. And because Bernard Hartzer and Joey Lawrence had left Cape Town United, and then I filled up in you know, those positions.
I got a message coming through here from a Kasim Hamid. Says, good player, played with him at Squares inside left. Good to hear him. Does it name ring a bell?
Thank you. I thought of him over the weekend. I actually wanted to contact him over the weekend too.
Okay, Mr. Hamid, if you're listening, you can send us your number and we'll pass it on to James George. We had some messages coming through on social media as well, and we'll get to that in a moment when I do open that. Then we talk about your move to Berea. Why the move from Cape Town to KZN?
Look, there was an exodus of players around about 1974. We had the big five, John Laguma, Siraj Abbas, Bobby Solomons, Mansoor Abdullah, who's the other fifth one? I can't get to his name. But they moved up to Dynamos.
Right.
And then eventually Spurs also didn't rise to the occasion, I suppose, because then they were sold to other bidders and things like that. And so Pazzi Jansen took over. They did well then. But the nucleus of the team was the, you know, the top players, and they had left, and the other guys that filled in positions did fairly well too. You know, Bobby also left us, and they left for Dynamos. But I decided to move to Durban. And Don found me and asked me to come and join the side. And
okay,
you know, I wasn't married then, and I was still young and naive. And
being
I thought,
a pro footballer,
I was chasing after the wind, as my wife used to tell me, you're chasing after the wind.
Let's read through some of the messages coming through. Andre Broncos, who later played for Santos in the 80s, he says, Firoz, where are you finding all these diamonds from? Well, Andre, you know, these guys are legends. We have to hear their stories, and we have to thank them for joining us in studio. Rome Ramtahl is a golf coach back in Durban. I don't know if you know him. These are the guys that used to go every week to Curry's Fountain, and you guys brought wonderful memories to these guys. And of course, your former teammate Stanley Govender, Stanley Govender says he's looking forward to this interview. And of course, all these guys hold you in a very high regard. You know, I'm going to come through some of these other comments in a short while. But in a short while, I also got a surprise guest for you as well, Mr. George. And we're going to talk about that 1976 Cup final. But before we get to that, some of the players that you played with in Berea, you know, I'm going to miss some of the names, but those were household names. And I was fortunate enough to chat to some of the guys, Fikki Valli, Dian Maestri, Gavin Sneyman, Charles Carey, Pat Blair, you got that written down there. These are wonderful players that you played with.
Yes, whilst at the Breeze, the players really made me feel at home and went the extra mile to accommodate me. Manager Don Moodley and his family was like my parents away from home, and I became part of his family. He organized me a job through Pat Blair and Gavin Snyman, both being boilermakers, in Edwin Swales Drive off on the Bluff at Chalmers Engineering, and worked in the drawing office as a structural and mechanical draftsman. I thank them because they got me a job too. Don set me up in a flat in Aslam Heights in Sydenham for a few months and eventually moved me to Kenilworth Mansions off Kenilworth Road. Had the penthouse suite at the top overlooking the football grounds, and then drove me to work every morning, put in lunch for me. Everything was on
so
the
you
house.
Were treated like a star, right?
Right.
If you have to, you know, equate it to today's footballers, that's the treatment you got, right? Absolutely. I got another message here saying, Assalamu alaikum, Firoz, walaikum salam. It's super lekker to hear our very own superstars from Suleika Bardeen. You're welcome, Suleika. But Mr. George, you're pointing at that, but obviously these bring back memories because you are the guys that entertained people, right?
Correct. And just that Suleika Bardeen, was she perhaps originally from Salt River Squares?
I'm not sure. Maybe Suleika, you can respond to that and tell us if you were part of the Squares
family.
But what does it mean now? I mean, obviously you played in the 70s, which is many, many years ago. And, you know, that the fans still remember you guys, you know. You guys that played in the Federation in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you brought lots of joy to them. It must, you know, it must feel good that you brought joy to these people who still remember you.
For sure. You know, it's not about us. It's all about them. That's the way I feel. Because if it wasn't for the supporters and the fan base, we wouldn't have been here to air our history.
Mm.
And again, I thank people like you and others that's doing this, affording us the opportunity to do this kind of work and put it in the annals of the soccer history in South Africa.
No, absolutely. We must thank you guys for accepting our invitation. She says she's the cousin of Nazmi Bardeen from the Kensington area.
Okay, yes, yes.
Gora Ibrahim was, you know Gora Ibrahim? He played in the 80s and 90s. He says, King James George, the majestic winger who dazzled and entertained us in his heyday. I will be tuning in. Ian Southgate, who's played for Batsworth, yet again. Obviously, that name stuck, and there must be a reason for that, obviously. Stanley Governor, your old teammate, looking forward to another type of chat. Jamie was one of the very best. We're still great mates. So, you know, you being modest here, but these people really hold you in high esteem there, Mr. George.
Hey, you can call me James. Yes, we did entertain the crowds, right? And we appreciate what they've gone through coming to the grounds and sitting at Athlone Stadium and at Curry's Fountain in Athlone Stadium in winter when it's raining and it's miserable and it's misty. But it was great fun for us. I mean, we did it for the sheer love of the game, not for the incentives or the money. Because we signed contracts for 35 rand a month and an extra 5 rand. If we beat teams 5-0, 6-0, we still get an extra 5 rand.
Bonus.
I mean, for a contract for 35 rand.
Yeah,
okay, it
was
relative then.
Back
but
then.
Even then.
Yeah.
You know, but it was great fun for us, man. Stanley,
but just as a matter of interest, when you move from Spurs to Cape Town United, we'll get to Berea just now. Was there like a signing on fee or anything like that, or transfer a fee that you can remember, or was it just a normal?
No, it was just a normal transfer.
So no fees or anything.
No fees. Maximum was 500.
Yeah.
The record signing, the record transfer fee was never long to back to Cape Town Spurs for 1,300 and some change.
At that time.
But it was relative, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so
that was a lot of money.
A lot of money, maybe. You know?
Mr. George, we're going to take a break now. We're going to go to an ad break, and when we come back, we'll be talking, continuing our conversation with James George.
This is Inside Sports.
Sashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
That's a really good ball. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zeke Lacy in South Africa are rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Assalamu alaikum. Just gone 24 minutes past 8. Welcome back. You're listening to Inside Sport. And we're talking tonight to James George, the flying winger who played for Cape Town Spurs, Cape Town United, and then later on Berea. Now, James, I've got a surprise guest on the line at the moment. Now, he says he was very instrumental in bringing you to Durban. We say a very good evening to Don Mudley.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, James, and you?
Well, you're speaking to Firoz now. James is smiling here. I don't know whether he's surprised or...
I'm well, thanks, Firoz. I'm well. I'm just as excited as I might just add. I turn 75 tomorrow, and I regard this as part of my privilege to be involved in this.
Wow, well, a very happy birthday for tomorrow, Mr.
James seems to be speechless here.
James, you want to say good evening to your former manager?
Good evening, Mr. Don Mudley.
Good evening, James, and how are you?
I'm okay, and I hope you're fine and the wife is fine.
You've brought
a bit of nostalgia to me now, honestly.
I didn't expect
this, honestly.
It's really a pleasure.
I've got tears of joy in my eyes here, honestly.
Seriously, because... That's what we're here for, to share these stories. And before we carry on, I believe it's also your birthday as well tomorrow, James. That's and your anniversary today.
Yes.
Well, a very happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
And a happy birthday as well.
Thank you.
And to Mr. Mudley there as well. Wow, what a coincidence. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Now, Don, let's see. Now, James, you know, he's being very modest in the studio here. And obviously, he had the nickname of Yet Again, which unfortunately, I didn't watch him play, but I believe he was a blistering winger. And you guys in Durban must have had your eye on him for a long time. You've been key to getting him to Durban. Why did you want to sign this gentleman sitting across the studio here from me?
Well, when we saw James, we were most impressed. As you mentioned, he was nicknamed Yattigan, which was one of the top racehorses in this country. James was an excellent player. His pace was unbelievable. Pace on the left bank. And after a couple of games, obviously, we decided, you know, that this is the kind of player we needed at Berea.
No, Mr. James George is very emotional at the moment. This is a surprise for
emotional.
You.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Just to add, he was on the verge of going to Rangers. After the game in Durban, I know he stayed over, and he stayed with Super Naidu, who was a Rangers player at that time. And when I heard that he was there, I had a chat with him, and we were absolutely delighted when he agreed to join us. We negotiated with the late Albert Willis, Cape Town United boss. And at that stage, the transfer fee, the maximum was 500 Rand. Mm. What a buy for 500 Rand. This was an unbelievable, talented, disciplined player. Really, he was.
So you guys got a fantastic player for 500. Well, back then, it was a lot of money, right?
Absolutely, yes. But money very well spent. He was such an icon, not only with the club, but with the fans as well. There was this guy with this Afro hairstyle, you know. Durbanites didn't know too much about Afro hairstyle.
Yeah.
And, of course, the snazzy dressing, you know. And really, he was a colorful, model sports person, in my honest I'm being very honest with you. I'm also feeling a little bit emotional. You're telling me he's emotional.
No, he is absolutely.
He was part of our family. He was just more than a player, much more than just a player.
Well, that's what he just said before we got your line, that you know, you guys made him feel like a family. You guys set him up well up in Aslam Heights. You mentioned a few places, even organized him a job. Organize lunch for him. So really, you guys looked after him very, very well.
And amazingly, but true, I'm sure James will confirm, I took him on his very first interview in Jacobs, which is...
And he's shaking his head
Durban,
here.
And he successfully was employed, you know.
Yeah.
He was such a barring footballer. I think he had such other good capabilities as well.
And, of course, we're going to talk now about that 1976 Cup Final, which is one of the greatest ever finals that in the history of the Federation, if not South African football. But before we get to that final, the crowds, the fans as well, loved this new signing that Breer got from Cape Town United, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Let's talk about that final now. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Mudley. Obviously, you were the manager of that team.
Yes.
Talk to us about the run-up to the final. Can you remember some of the teams you beat along the way to the final? And maybe if you can remember your starting 11. I know it's a long time ago, 45 years, but what you can remember, if you can just share with us, please.
I think I could clearly, specifically talk about the players or the team.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to recollect, you know, the teams we beat getting into the final.
Sure.
I seem to remember, I think Swaraj was one of them. But in so far as the squads are concerned, of course, James, Vicky Valley, Charles Carey, Daya Maestri, Duda Munsami, Gavin Sneyman, Scampi Vissessa, Nazim Benefort. You know, those are just some of the guys that featured in our squad. All of them committed, and you know, guys didn't play for commercial or monetary gains those days. The commitment from all these guys, as you would recall or talk about James, was amazing.
Mm.
You know, amazing. And James was certainly one of the icons in Breer. Absolutely.
Now, while you're talking about that icon, I just mentioned that earlier as I was on as well. I remember that picture of him crossing the ball with the crowds right there by the line. So I'm going to come to you now, James. For you personally, what was it like playing in that final?
For me, I think the crowd had a huge impact on both those games.
Mm.
But for me, it was just another day at work, trying to do my job to the best of my abilities. And I think we really did well. And we complemented each other whilst playing, you know. It was just an awesome final. Mm. Words cannot explain how we felt. We did feel bad in the first leg, in the dressing room, being 3-0 down. And then I think Don and Ivan just said to the guys, listen, we've been down before, we can still rise to the
occasion. So in the first leg you were 3-0 down?
3-0 down, yes.
Right.
No, and we in the second half we just pulled ourselves together and we played with the 3-3 draw.
But that atmosphere must have been electric.
It was electric.
I mean, I'm just looking at that picture there. Now, when you guys equalized, that must have just been mayhem in the ground.
Yes, I think Pat scored a penalty. Pat Blair got a penalty in the dying minutes. I think I was fouled, Stanley got fouled somewhere in the box, and they got a penalty. Pat Blair just put it in the right hand side of Hans Kous with his left foot, and the pitch was invaded.
Now, that Sundowns team, Don, was also had some household names in that team, right? Tell us about some of the players in that team.
Well, I thought guys like Vincent Julius, Ingles Singh, the Singh brothers, the goalkeeper. Vincent was a player that played both goalkeeper and inside, Vincent Julius. I can't remember too many of them.
Yeah.
Smiley Musa was part of the squad. They were very talented. In fact, as James mentioned, the very first game we were 3-3. We came back, drew 3-3. And of course, the subsequent game we won 6-3.
So
but
that first
game
itself,
with regards to the crowd, we had to turn away people from Curry's Fountain.
Well, that's what I wanted to touch
on.
It must have been, there must have been about 25,000 people there, plus minus.
Yes, that was about the max that Curry's could hold. Mm. That was about the max. Yes.
But how did you manage being a winger now with fans sitting practically on the line? Wasn't that a bit
intimidating,
awkward, you know, with tackles, you know, worried about getting onto the fans and stuff like that? How did you guys manage that?
It was sheer joy because it was all our fans.
Yeah.
They protected us, you know. They wouldn't, you know, encroach beyond the markings of the pitch.
Yeah.
And that's it. And, I mean, they brought joy to the game.
Mm.
they added a different dimension to everything. I mean, when we scored goals, they used to invade the park, and you know, and we just loved it, and we played for the love of the game.
Absolutely,
as Don was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just fantastic feeling. I mean, words cannot explain.
Now, that first final obviously ended 3-3.
Correct.
That must have been on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon. Right? And then the replay would have been
the following week, Sunday.
Yeah. And then talk to us how that game went.
Honestly, I can't even remember much. I just,
maybe, Doug, you can help us there.
We just won 6-3.
Yes. We were 3-1 down with 18 minutes on the clock.
In the second game now?
The second game, of course.
Yes.
We were 3-1 down with 18 minutes on the clock. And we introduced Campy Bisesa. Mm. We took out Stanley Governor, if my memory serves me.
Stanley.
And within the space of 18 minutes, Berea scored 2 goals. And as James has mentioned, the third goal was a penalty. Scampi was fouled in the box. And as usual, Pat Blair slotted it home coolly. Mm. But in regards to the crowd, as James said, they probably would virtually invade the field, but very disciplined. Mm. And they were the 12th man in all Berea games. I think we're amongst the biggest crowd pullers at that stage.
Yeah. And, of course, you had stars in that team. You just mentioned some of those players earlier on. They were all household names back then.
Well, I think the team in total could be regarded as star-studded, really. Every single one of them really contributed, dedicated, passionate. And James said he was doing his job. It's probably the lowest ever paid job he's done.
Through his God.
Really. Because the guys really paid for the passion and the cause. And he played for the cause as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and basically that's it. Yes.
And Don, just coming back to that game, that Sundance team was a star-studded team. Mm. Honestly, that Christy Martin in there.
Yes,
Christy Martin was great.
Christy.
And Don what? Lucas. Don Lucas, Engelsing Jr. They had Lucas's brother. He's late now. And they had top players. Mm. Tanti Vincent Julius, Smiley Mercer, but okay, he was benched.
Yes.
And Gene Adams, Williams. Williams.
Yes.
It was just a star-studded team. Goalkeeper. The goalkeepers they had was of the best quality. Mm. But we still managed to beat them.
Wow.
And, you know, we just somehow, Ivan and Don and Pat and Charles and Diane them just, and Vicky and them just regrouped and we just overcame them.
No,
honestly.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a brilliant. We hear about the final, but it's nice to speak to people who were involved in the final itself, one as a player, one as the manager of the winning team. Mm-hmm. But the sad thing, though, as James was saying earlier, he never kept his medal or his trophy. Unfortunately, he mislaid that.
Goodness.
Do you have any memorabilia from that final, Don?
I basically have the medal. Just the middle. In fact, the rest of, you know, Berea, we had blazers, fat suits, and what have you.
We had
a function at the City Hall when we launched the SA Fed Soccer Legends, and we displayed some of these up at the Durban City Hall on stage.
Yeah.
And believe me, the guys helped themselves to one or two of these things. So, quite honestly, besides some documents and magazines and match brochures, and nothing else really to show besides some very good photographs, of course.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And excellent memories of that game, of course.
No, absolutely. And just before we let you go, Don, I just want to ask you, can you remember what bonus you gave the Berea players when they won?
Yes, we had a meeting. I'm not sure if James remembers this. Initially, we offered the players, we said 60% for the club, 40% for the players. Mm. At a subsequent meeting, the players who were never demanding, I think they took a chance. They asked for a 50-50 situation, and we refused. So they got 40% of the winnings, yes.
Yes, James, you want to say something?
It wouldn't have amounted to much, of course. It was well paid.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more thing, if you would allow me.
Absolutely.
You know, people ask me about the successes of Berea. I say absolutely, we had a very passionate, dedicated team. But as a club, you know, Berea was structured so well. I mean, we had directors, we called them directors. They would put in money into the club knowing they would never recover even a cent.
Mm.
Those were the kind of committed people that also added tremendously to the success of Berea.
No, really. Absolutely. Don Mudley, thank you very much. Sorry, you wanted to say something before Don goes?
I think Don mustn't forget the Football of the Year trophy, which I won in 1976
yes.
at the Himalaya
yes.
Hotel. I think you captured that, haven't you?
Yes.
I want it back.
Well, for the price, yes, we can talk.
Well, Don Mudley, thank you very much for joining us tonight. I can tell you, James George here in studio was very, very surprised. Thank you for your time and sharing your stories with us about that 1976 final and, of course, signing of James. And all the best for tomorrow. But before you go, I think James just wanted to say something.
Regards to the wife, Don.
Thank you so much.
And you.
It's been really a pleasure talking to you and being
well.
Part of the
Keep
show.
Well.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank
and
you.
And how's Delon?
He's fine. All my children
Did
are fine.
Did you tell Firoz you named Delon
yes,
after
right,
my son?
Yes, right.
Well, Don Mudley, thank you very much and a very good evening to you.
Thank
God bless
you.
And thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, that
Bye.
Was the former Berea manager who signed James George. But we're going to take a quick ad break now. We'll come back and then we'll continue our conversation with James George.
This is Inside Sports.
Tashi Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the news.
It's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the updates.
Zeke Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. You're listening to Inside Sport, just gone 8:45. We're going to wrap up very soon with our guest tonight, James George, the former Cape Town Spurs, Cape Town United and Berea flying winger, if I may say. It was great chatting about that brilliant 1976 final, but let's just talk about your other highlights with Berea.
At the Breeze, I was again in the company of more great players. Mm. Pat Blair, Dyer Maestri, Charles Carey, Duda Mansami, Kofi Fredericks, Vicky Valli, Stanley, Govender, Clive Deval, Dudu and Ramu Naidu, Bernard Ross, Nazim Benefeld, Sadiq and Cherry Ibrahim, and Dr. Nazim Meyer, Jackie Krishna, and the late Scampi Bosesa, and inimitable Henry Blackhat Seeley.
Mm.
Then in 1974-75, the demise of the NFL came about, and the Breeze directors were caught hook, line and sinker into acquiring most of the Durban City players, complete with Clive Barker, and the most they most probably spent a fortune. This deal did not work for us as the results proved negative and the crowds dwindled. The moment we got rid of the most of the players, we gradually gained momentum and got back into winning ways. Lots of players were made sacrificial lambs because of these lighter-skinned ones, and soon the directors realized the error.
Mm.
When in 1976, when we got Ivan Saunders, also a top-class trainer, coach, and Don as manager, we reached the final of the Coke final. And that's it.
How many years did you spend with Berea before you quit pro football? Because you never played pro after that, right?
No. 3 years.
3 years.
3 years.
And when you finally hung up your...
When I came back to Cape Town, I joined Dalthorne United. And they begged me to come and train them and coach them.
How old plus minus were you back then when you came back to Cape Town after leaving Berea?
28, 29.
So you could have still played pro football, right?
Yes, but I made a lot of sacrifices then because I neglected my family.
Mm.
And... my wife did join me up in Durban, but she soon came back again. But as I said, I was, as you were saying, telling me, I was chasing after the wind. And today, after 44 years of marriage, I think she's put up with my chasing after the wind, and it's all gone now. So we're happily married, and thanks. I've got a great family.
Fantastic. And so, then, obviously, you played for Belton United.
Belton United,
and
yes.
And
I trained them.
And then decided.
I stayed there for about 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I decided enough is enough now.
Did you do any coaching after that, or you just quit football altogether?
No, that is why I felt that I didn't put in enough into the game like some other players did. But unfortunately, I did my time as a journeyman, and you know, I did wrong things too, neglecting the family and you know, this type of thing. But eventually I decided, no, I've had enough now. Now it's time to concentrate on my family and my work commitments. And thank God I ended up in a good job and subsequently retired now.
Yeah, and you're living in Mitchell's Plain now, right?
In Mitchell's Plain, yes.
So obviously unification came a bit too late for lots of you guys. Any regrets in your career that maybe, you know,
yes,
born at the wrong time, or you never had enough opportunities?
No, I don't have any regrets. It was just the phase we went through. But what I feel aggrieved about is that for the unification, I think we were thrown under the bus. And I can emphatically say that the main culprit was Danny Jordan. That's it. That's my personal belief. And I call a spade a spade. I mean, we had him at our function, at our Cape Town Spurs 50th anniversary function. And I mean, for me, he made a speech, he arrived late. I don't want to degrade the man, but he could not have been there. We would have been better off. I mean, because he did not touch on slash SPL, you know. So for me, it's just not on.
James George, thank you very, very much for a lovely interview, for accepting our invitation. And, you were modest, but listening from what some of the listeners had to say, some of the messages on social media, your former manager had to say, you were a very good player. You know, I didn't get to see you, unfortunately, but that picture is still sticking in my mind of you at Curry's Fountain with a packed crowd there crossing that ball in that very famous cup final. Just a pity you never had that medal, which you missed late. But all I can say is thank you for the memories. And all the best to you. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. You just got 10 to 9. It was another fantastic interview with James George. We thank him for joining us this evening. We hope you back at home enjoyed the interview, and I'll be back during the week on Drive Time with more sporting news from Monday to Friday. The views expressed in this program are not the views of Voice of the Cape, its management or staff as well. From me, Firoz Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. Have a fantastic evening.